Questions are important. I wonder what the most important question you've ever been asked. Will you marry me? No. Some people are doing, yeah. Or do you want the job? Or, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? What is the most important thing going on in your life? Do you know what you don't know? No, I'm trying to think. You know, the big questions that we have. You know, it was 25 years and one day ago. Yeah, 25 years and one day ago that the first million-pound question was asked on British TV. They didn't get it right because it wasn't the one that happened later on. But the first question that was a million-pound question was asked to a guy called Peter Lee. And he didn't answer it. And I know that many of you will know this answer. Some of you won't. Which county cricket side is based at Chesterley Street? Is it Warwickshire, Durham, Northants, or Leicestershire? Now, many of us know that it's Durham. But obviously, back in 2000... Durham hadn't been a county team for long, so it was a much more tricky question. But then Judith Keppel, who came along in November of that year, had a million-pound question. She became the first person to answer it correctly. Imagine answering a question and getting £1 million. Her question, which king was married to Eleanor of Aquitaine? I can hear people going, Richard, you'd have just lost 500,000. Right, Henry the First, Henry the Second, Richard the First, or Henry the Fifth? So which king was married to Eleanor of Aquitaine? Who thinks Henry the First? You've just lost 500,000, Fiona. Who thinks Henry the Second? Yeah, I'll go with that. Well done, you've just won a million. Oh, well done. Those of you that were going for Richard or Henry the Fifth, no, I'm afraid that's wrong. But it's interesting, the questions that are asked. Some great questions asked in films. Can you name this film? You Want the Truth? Can anyone know that film? When someone says, you want the truth, followed by... You can't handle the truth. But can anyone remember? You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. Yeah, but what's the film? A Few Good Men. Well done. You're going to know this one. Magic mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all? Snow White. Very good. Surely you can't be serious. I am saying thank you for that answer from Airplane. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Dirty Harry, well done. Do I feel lucky? Well, yeah. And then who said anything about him being safe? Narnia, yeah, Lion, Witch, Wardrobe, yeah, well done. So there you go, some big questions. And some of you are thinking, well, I've never heard those questions, but perhaps you should, you know. But it's interesting, these big questions that people ask, or that we can ask, or that someone asks us. At the start of John chapter 11, John writes that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Luke, and Lazarus. Yet when informed that Lazarus was gravely ill, Jesus declared that his illness would not lead to death, but that the Son of God would be glorified through it. And he remained there for two more days. When Jesus eventually arrived in Bethany, despite being warned of the risk of being stoned there, Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. And Martha's words to Jesus express her disappointment at his late arrival, perhaps containing also a note of reproach. Lord, if you had been here, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. However, this exclamation is followed immediately by a statement of confidence in Jesus' saving power. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus assures her that her brother will rise again. And she responds by affirming her religious belief. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus leads her a step further, declaring his power over life and death and revealing his identity as the Messiah. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Following this astonishing declaration, Jesus challenges Mary with a very direct, deeply personal, big question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And perhaps it was that question that inspired these Christians 1700 years ago to come up with a creed, to say this is what we believe. This is what we believe. We don't want to believe these rumors and these other things. We want to get the focus of what is important and what is true. And they were able to come up with a creed. But I think the question, do you believe this, shouldn't lead us to a big debate about what it is we believe. But it should be a personal question. Do you believe this? And if so, does it make any difference? Do you believe this? Do we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? That he died to save us. He rose from the dead to show that we're forgiven, that we're loved, that we're valued. We're no longer a slave to fear, a slave to death. But because of Jesus, we have life. We have life in all its fullness. We have life for eternity. We have hope for today. We have hope for tomorrow. We have knowledge that the Father in heaven who loves us, we know his Spirit who fills us. Do we believe? I think there's various responses to that question. Do you believe this? No, I don't. I'm really sorry. I'm trying to make it clearer. Okay. Sorry, where were we? I was just right. Okay. It was a big question that I think we need to answer honestly. And perhaps one answer is, do I believe it? Well, not enough. I can't quite believe it enough. And we think, my faith is so small, it's so fragile, it's so on and off, it's so easily battered. My faith is, well, it's no bigger than a mustard seed. And Jesus said, if you have faith as big as a mustard seed, as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, get up and go over there. Yeah, because it's not the size of our faith, it's the size of the object of our faith. Isn't it? We know that. And we can have a tiny faith. We can have a wavering faith. You know, perhaps one of the most amazing events in the Bible is when Jesus has been resurrected. He's standing there on the mountain. It's the last moments with his disciples. And they gather and they worship, and some doubt. What? These disciples who have been with him for 3 years, they've seen him day by day. They've seen him, or they've run away as he died. They came back, they've touched him, they've eaten with him. They've seen him as a risen Savior. And they doubt. So is it surprising that there are times when we doubt? There are times when I say, Lord, my faith is so small. Let's not disqualify ourselves because our faith is small. Let's rejoice that our faith, no matter how small, is in a mighty, wonderful, all-powerful, almighty God. But it might be, you say, do I believe this? Yeah, but I'm too bad. I'm too bad to this because, yeah, I might believe it, but God's not, it's not true for me because I'm too bad. I've made too many mistakes. I'm too much of a failure. I'm too rubbish. I've hurt too many people. I've let others down. I know I've let God down, and I've let myself down so many times. I'm just not good enough. Yeah, I can't believe this because it can't be true for me. And that's something that is so easy to think, because it's easy to think how much of a failure we've been. It's easy to think that, yeah, if God's standards are there, the glory of God is there, how much have I fallen? And I've fallen way more than the person standing next to me. Yeah, okay, I'm not as bad as, but I'm fallen way more than them. But knowing that we've fallen doesn't disqualify us. It means that we're in the right position to say, yeah, I believe this. I believe this because I need it. I believe this because this is grace. I'm not coming and believing this because I'm strong. I'm not saying I believe this because I'm completely victorious. I'm saying I believe this because I need to believe it. I need to know that I have a Savior who loves me. I need that. But it might be that our response is, yeah, I believe it. But so what? I believe it, but so what? I believe it, so I go to church each Sunday. I believe it, so I own a Bible. I believe it, so I filled in Christian on the census form. I believe it. If we believe this, it can't be that it doesn't make any difference. Can't just leave us saying, yeah, I believe it. Or is our answer, yeah, I struggle sometimes to believe. I know I sometimes fail. But I believe it, and it's going to make all the difference in my life. It's going to make the full difference. It's going to mean that every day is different. Because yes, even when I fail, I know that God is with me and he's picking me up and I can start again and I can look to do this right. Even when I let someone down, I can ask for forgiveness and I can make it right with them. Even when I fail and I fall into that thing, I can go, no, I'm going to go. I can tell people about Jesus. I can live for Jesus. I don't just go, Lord, I'm just going to try my own way and then if it doesn't work, I'll go to Jesus. No, I go to Jesus first because I believe this. I believe this. Do you believe this? Yes, I believe it. Not because I'm strong. Not because I'm perfect, but because of who Jesus is. Yes, I believe this. Yes, I believe this. When was the last time you gave your life to Jesus? You might remember the first time you gave your life to Jesus. It may have just happened over a period of time. It may have been a particular day. I know my day was the 3rd of May, 1984. Was the day I gave my life to Jesus. I know that day. But when was the last time you gave your life to Jesus? When was the last time you said, yeah, Jesus, I believe this. I'm all in. I'm giving myself to you. I'm going to put myself on that altar as a living sacrifice and say, Lord, whatever you want for me, whatever you have for me, yeah, I'm here. I'm yours. So I don't know about you, but I want to respond to this question that Jesus asked Martha when he said, do you believe this? I want to respond by saying, yes, and I give my life to you today. I invite the band up. In a moment, we're going to be singing a song that says, I praise you for eternity. I praise you forevermore. I praise you for always. But praising always starts today. So as a church is together, as brothers and sisters from different traditions, I want to invite you to do something brave and very normal for some traditions and very strange for others, which is to respond by bending or bowing or kneeling, if you're able. If you want to say, Lord, you know I gave my life to you, how many days or weeks or months or years or decades or centuries ago, but today, I'm choosing to give my life to you. I'm choosing to say, yes, Lord, I believe this. And I believe you want me, and you love me, and you care for me, and you accept me, and you forgive me, and you fill me. So, Lord, I believe this. I believe this. I give my life to you. If you want to respond, please do.